find Matthew chapter 20. So appreciated Pastor Avery's announcement and request for prayer today. Obviously, it's August, which means it's more than hot in Houston. But it also means it's time to think about the upcoming year of service and ministry here at Champion Forest Baptist Church. School starts in August. We have our promotion Sunday. Everybody finds their new place of service and ministry in the body of Christ, and we jump out into a new church year beginning on August the 20th of this month. So today is a special Sunday at Champion Forest, and aren't they all? We hope so. Today is Serve Sunday. Now, I know what you're thinking if you've been around a while. Wait a minute, we do no, grow, go. Go is last. We do go last, but here's the problem with putting go at the end of this conversation, which means at the end of August, and that is one Sunday too late for many of you to sign up and serve in this upcoming year of service and ministry. And our preschool and children's leadership and ministry team has said to me, Pastor, if you do that one more year, we're not speaking to you for the whole year. So we move Serve Sunday to the first Sunday of August. And service is such a critical part of who we are and what we do at Champion Forest Baptist Church. It is in any church, of course, really in anywhere. It's central to the success of any organization. Unless you're a part of this one I heard about, once upon a time there were four people in a church. Their names were everybody, somebody, nobody, and anybody. Remember that church? Whenever there was an important job to be done, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. What a sad story. But let me tell you a better story. Somebody was needed to do what just about anybody could do. So everybody pitched in and nobody was left out. Don't you like that story better? I do. And at Champion Forest Baptist Church, on this or any one of our four campuses, at all age groups to all generations, we are so thankful for the servants of God who serve here at Champion Forest Baptist Church. You know, on any given Sunday, more than 2,000 people on that Sunday and every Sunday serve in some way. They're out in the parking lot. They're driving the golf cart. They're directing people. They're welcoming people through the doors. They're singing or playing an instrument. They're working a camera or behind the scenes in our media team. They're serving in a life group for adults or students or perhaps with children or preschoolers. Or they're serving in a worship context for children or for students in the next generation. They're serving throughout the week. They're serving in weekday ministries. They're serving on Wednesday night in a number of ways. They serve every day of the week out there where there are real needs in the lives of real people. Thousands of people serve. And that makes it possible to be who we are and to do what we do at Champion Forest Baptist Church. Couldn't do it without you and your service. And in the context of discipleship, which you've noticed, the beginning of your worship folder each week emphasizes this current teaching series on following Jesus. And we're talking about various aspects of what it is to be a disciple and what does a disciple of Jesus do. Well, I can tell you this, one of the things a disciple does is serve. And in the context of discipleship, where we're talking about following Jesus and being close to Jesus and being in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus, you wouldn't want to miss this text, Matthew chapter 20. And I'd like to read for context's sake, beginning in verse 20. It's a request from the mother of James and John. She says to her Lord, kneeling before him and asked for something. Verse 21 says, he said to her, what do you want? She said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit very close to you, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. She's asking for not just preferential treatment, but proximity. She wants her boys. And we can identify with this, right? We want the best for our children. She wants her boys, her sons, James and John, to be very close to Jesus. Jesus answered, verse 22, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I am to drink? And they said to him, we are able. He said to them, you will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant. But it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, the other disciples, the other to be apostles, they were indignant at the two brothers. They felt like maybe they were getting the inside lane on them here in proximity to Jesus. As this mother's asking for positions of proximity, they want to be close to Jesus. How many of you want to be close to Jesus? So it's not a bad request if the heart is right and if the motives are pure, but maybe based on his response, there was some more teaching to take place here. The others are indignant because somebody's getting an inside lane on proximity, closeness to Jesus. But Jesus called them in verse 25 and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." So there's a sense in which he perceives the request is based on authority and privilege, not so much proximity and closeness and intimacy. They want to sit next to Jesus, not because they want to be next to Jesus, but they want the power and the authority that comes by sitting at his right and his left hand. Verse 26 says, "It shall not be so among you." It's not about authority. It's not about power and position. It's not why we follow Jesus. It's not what we're becoming if we are following Jesus. "It shall not be so among you." Don't worry about power and privilege. Don't worry about your position. Don't worry about the title on your office door, or your desk, or your business card. Don't worry about who sits under you. Don't worry about who you boss around. "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you, truly great, eternally great, great in the kingdom of God, whoever would be great among you must be your servant." What an upside down idea that is. That greatness is actually achieved through humility and service. The greatness in God's kingdom economy is not about authority and position or prestige or power. It's about humbly serving others. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you," which is what they're requesting, "let us be first next to you. Let us be right next to you in position. Whoever will be first among you must be your," and this is the bottom of the barrel with regard to titles, "slave." How many of us would love to have a business card that says, "slave"? "Hi, I'm David. Let me introduce myself. I'm a slave." With all of the right baggage attached to a title like that, a position like that, who would aspire to be a slave? And yet Jesus says, "Whoever will be first among you must essentially be the least among you." Even as the Son of Man. Now, you want to be like Jesus? You want to follow Jesus? You want to be right up next to Jesus? "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served." Wait a minute. If anybody could have come demanding service, if anybody would have been justified with a serve me mindset, wouldn't Jesus qualify for that somebody? I mean, he's God. He is creator of all that is. He holds all things together. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If anybody could come demanding that others serve him, he should. And yet, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the Jesus we follow. That's the Jesus we aspire to be like. That's the Jesus who is making us more and more so by the grace of God and in the power of his Holy Spirit to become more like him. This Jesus, not the one that stands up with all authority, position, and power. Though he possesses it, he chose to set it aside to serve. Want to see this fleshed out in real life? Go with me to the Last Supper. And what's Jesus there doing? He's cast the vision for eternity, for the establishing of his kingdom. He's ready now to pay the ultimate price to accomplish the ultimate victory. And what does he do with his disciples but take off his outer garments, put on the garments of a servant, and gets on his hands and knees with a bucket of water and a rag and begins to wash their dirty feet? That's what slaves do, not saviors. That's what servants do, not leaders. But that's exactly what Jesus did. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give. Give, serving, and through service, giving his life away. And so in the context of wanting to be a true disciple, in the context of wanting to follow Jesus, to be close to Jesus, to be more like Jesus, how can we overlook this passage of Scripture when Jesus says, so you want to be great, do you? Serve. You want to do something great? Serve greatly, even as the Son of Man. Let me suggest this to you, that you are never closer to Jesus or more like Jesus than when you are serving and giving your life away in service to others. So did you say you want to be a disciple of this Jesus? I mean, is that what you were thinking when you said, sign me up, man, I'm in. I want some of that forgiveness. Give me that eternal life. Give me that Christian community. Give me that church family. Did you know that that same Jesus that you signed up to serve was servant of all? You want to be like Jesus? Serve. Now, I know this is countercultural. It's contrary to the serve me mindset that's so prevalent in our country today, and sadly, even in our churches today. Serve me. Serve me. We come in for what's in it for ourselves. We come in to be blessed rather than to be a blessing, to be served rather than to serve, to get something for ourselves instead of giving ourselves away in service of others. Which would you suppose is more like Jesus? Serve me? Bless me? Do for me? Entertain me? Or is following Jesus more about how can I serve you? What can I do for you? What do I have that might be a blessing to you? I can tell you this, if that's the Jesus we're following, then that's the Jesus we're becoming more like through our service and ministry. And yes, service is at the heart of Christianity, certainly of discipleship, of following Jesus, because we're not following Jesus and we're not becoming like Jesus if we're not serving others. Can I break this down for you in perhaps five or so quick reasons why this is true, as if Jesus saying, if you want to be great, serve. If you want to be like me, be a servant like me. As if that's not enough, since that's the Jesus we're following, let me try to build an academic or an intellectual case for service. Let me start with this one. Number one, did you know that we are actually saved to serve? We're not saved by our service. Don't let me mislead you. We're not saved because of our good works. No. We would be getting the cart before the horse if we came to that conclusion. We know what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says. We are not saved by the amount of our good works. No, the Bible says in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast, because you know we would if we could. We know that. It's not our works that save us. You cannot pile up this big mound of good deeds and say, God, this must be good enough. We get that. We understand that. I'd like to say we've got our minds around the notion and the concept that we'll never be good enough. Only Jesus is good enough. So we cannot trust in our works for salvation. We must trust in his work for our salvation. But too often, folks, we separate right here the next verse from the previous two. In the very conversation wherein we say, we are not saved by our works, some might say, therefore, why bother working? Some might say, based on Ephesians 2, 8, 9, there's no place for works. So why even waste time in a conversation about works? The works amount to nothing. They're of no consequence. And there are, in fact, some who live their lives with that very wrong theology. Because look at verse 10, which begins with the word for. And you know, you Bible students, you know what therefore or for means. You're supposed to ask yourself, what's it therefore? It's a connector, which means we have to read this in context. What context? The context of the fact that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship. Look at verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus to do. Say that with me. To do. Doesn't say to watch others do. Doesn't say to cheer others on as they do. It says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which, keep reading, God prepared in advance of what? In advance of your salvation. In advance, meaning there's a to-do list for you to do before you came to Christ. To do, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'm thankful it doesn't say for them to do. Wouldn't that be easier on us? If the Bible said, which God in advance has prepared for them to do. Who's them? Everybody else. Or more particularly, somebody else. Or specifically, anybody else. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, for we, that's inclusive, are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Who to do? Which God prepared in advance for us. Any us's in the room? Could I see you or us? Is any us in here? See, that's all of, help me, us in the room. But we are saved to serve. Yes, God saved us to forgive us our sin and of the eternal consequences of our sin and rebellion. God saved us unto heaven, but some people think that the only reason God saved us is to take us to glory. But if that were so, dear friend, why are we still here? But could God not come through fast enough? Does it just take any more time? I mean, does he need more time? Is he just, are we in this waiting place? Are we in this holding pattern while God delivers on his promise? Or has God saved us and left us here long enough to fulfill his plans and purposes through us? What do you think the answer is? I think God saved us to serve. I see that in the scripture. The most famous evangelist of our time, who's still living, by the way, Billy Graham, who shared the gospel with millions of people and saw millions of people worldwide come to faith and trust in Jesus. Seldom, if ever, have I ever heard anything from Billy Graham about service and volunteering and ministry. It's all about the gospel and coming to Jesus and turning from sin and trusting in him to be saved. And yet it was Billy Graham who said, you ready for this? Unless our belief in God causes us to help our fellow man, our faith stands condemned. Maybe he read James, the book in the New Testament, Faith Without Works, dead. The kind of faith that doesn't work, the kind of faith that doesn't produce, the kind of faith that doesn't serve isn't the kind of faith that saves. Let's be clear. We are not saved by our works. We are saved for our service. Let me offer you a second one. We are saved to serve, and we are gifted to serve. Did you know you're gifted? Look at the person sitting next to you and say, "You are so gifted." Yeah, they need to hear you say that because they may not believe that. They may think about other people's giftedness and how other people have gifts, and they may think, "Man, I'm not gifted." So you just encourage them today. And in fact, the encouragement you gave is biblical. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit," those are gifts, "is given for the common good." 1 Peter 4:10, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received." It doesn't say if in fact they have, it just says they should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We are gifted to serve. Each and every one of us, listen, has at least one spiritual gift with which to serve the Lord and the body of Christ, which means we have everything we need already in the body of Christ to be the body of Christ and to do anything and everything God calls us as his body to do. We have it. We don't have to sit around and say, "Lord, please send some people with a spiritual gift of service." We got them. "Lord, please send some people with a spiritual gift of evangelism so that we don't have to take the risk of sharing our faith." You know what? We've all got it. It's called the Great Commission. Congratulations. It's a gift. "Lord, we just need some people here with the gift of mercy." We got them. "We need some people with the gift of administration." We got them. "We need some people with the gift of giving." We got them. You know how I know that? Because God isn't holding out on us. Because God has strategically gifted us as the body of Christ with anything and everything we need for success in ministry and on mission. We have it. Now, that's not to say that every gift is in use or that every gift is known and employed. Some of us don't know our spiritual gift. Some of us who consider ourselves disciples, followers of Christ, and therefore understand the role of service in discipleship, don't know specifically what our unique and wonderful spiritual gift from God is. That's like having a present that someone gives you that's just what you need. It's just what you need. And you set it on the shelf because you're so glad to have it, but you never open it, discover it, or put it in use. What good is the gift if it goes unused? So we're gifted. We're all gifted. The scripture says we're all gifted. And a disciple of Christ, let me challenge you here, knows his or her spiritual gift and is seeking to use that gift as a part of the body where they worship and want to serve. Hey, have I got good news for you? If you don't know your spiritual gift, today's your day. You get to figure it out today. Let me show you a slide from our website. We have some amazing resources and tools at championforce.org, and here's one of them. You could go to the website, to championforce.org/gifts, and discover your spiritual gifts. You can read about the biblical gifts that are described in the New Testament. You could even take a short survey that will help you. Now, it's not an exclusive end all, that's it. But it will help you determine where your particular area of giftedness may be. Now, that's not to say that if we don't have the gift of giving, we don't have to give. That's not to say if we don't have the gift of mercy, we don't have to be merciful. Get over it. It's not to say if we don't have the gift of hospitality, we shouldn't be hospitable. That's not what gifts are about. What gifts tell us is a particular area where we not only have an interest, but an unusual spiritual ability to be successful in that area. Some people are just really good at it because it's a gift for them. Do you know what I mean? We're all commanded to be witnesses. We're all expected to give. We're all expected to serve and to be hospitable and to be kind. Yes, 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 yes. No, don't excuse Christian discipleship following Jesus in every area of life. But there is something, let me suggest to you, that you can do that is unusually gifted. Go online to championforce.org. Take the survey. I think we ought to break it today. Everybody ought to go on there and just shut it down, and then you'll know how many people are piling on to find out their spiritual gift. Because here's what I'd love to happen. If I see you in the hall, pass you here, see you at Kroger or HEB or wherever we buy our groceries, not to name any names. If I see you out there in some coffee shop or a restaurant, I'd love to be able to say, hey, by the way, I wanted to ask you a question. What's your spiritual gift? And I would be so honored and blessed if you were to right then immediately say, my spiritual gift that God has given me in Christ Jesus is this. And then I'd like to say, and how are you using your spiritual gift to serve the body? And immediately you would say, I'm serving in this way. That would be amazing. I might even buy your supper if you were to have an answer. Now, that's a big mite, okay? That's a big, big mite because there's a lot of you. But how cool would it be to sit down? You know, we talk about everything in the world, from the weather to football to finances to politics. We talk about everything in the world. How cool would it be at your next gathering of fellow church members or prayer warrior, prayer partners, life group, just to sit around and say, so what's your spiritual gift? And how are you using that spiritual gift in service to the body of Christ? One, we're saved to serve. Two, we're gifted to serve. Three, we're needed to serve. We're needed. I know I've heard it before. Champion Forest is a large church, a lot of people. They don't need me. They got all, look at all these people. Why, if all these people would serve, they wouldn't need my service. Hey, do you know how Champion Forest Baptist Church or any church of any size works? Do you know how it works? It doesn't work when everybody expects somebody else to do what anybody ought to be willing to do. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter if you have 100 people or 100,000 people. If the people who were there don't serve, it won't work. And it's true in this context. You're needed. It's about scale and volume. There are just more here, which means the need is greater here. In fact, would you believe on the first Sunday of August, this Sunday, today, we are 2 weeks away from Promotion Sunday. And do you know how many people we need just in the area of preschool and children's ministries? Do you know how many we need? Now, when I say need, I mean need, all right? I mean need. You know how many? 173. That's bigger than a lot of churches that we just need today to step up and to sign up to serve. You say, hit the panic button, preacher. That's bad. That's bad. The sky's falling. The walls are coming down. Babies are going to be running all through the church without anybody supervising them. And we're going to be up to our eyeballs and elbows in diapers. And they're not clean ones either. It's bad. But actually, it's not that bad. This is about where we are at this time as we recruit and sign folks up and get people plugged in and connected. Because it actually takes over 600. So we're down to a relatively small number of people needed to serve. You feel your heart beating right now? Can you feel your heart beating? Is air filling your lungs? Have I got good news for you? You qualify. You qualify. We'll take you. If you don't feel your heart beating and your lungs aren't expanding right now, raise your hand. And someone will come and help you. But if you're alive and you have a pulse and you're breathing and you're willing to say, I have no idea, but I'll try, we'll train you to serve. Now, don't let me mislead you. There are lots of areas to serve, but that's one particular area of current and rather pressing need. You're needed to serve. Ephesians 4:16 says this, from him, Jesus, the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are needed to serve. Can I add another? Number four, we are expected to serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, now it's required of those who have been given a trust. What did we say? We've all been given a spiritual gift. With that gift comes an expectation of proper use. It's required that those of us who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Romans 14:12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Us, meaning the body of Christ, Paul's writing to the church and says, we will give an account. What is that account? Will we account for our sin Praise God. Jesus has already paid that price. No, you and I aren't going to stand before God someday and he go down this long list of dirty deeds that you had done. Thank God those have been nailed to the cross. Aren't you glad? Now, don't go adding to it just because they're nailed to the cross, all right? Don't misunderstand here, right? We're not talking about license. What we're talking about is the penalty and the price of our sin has been paid. But you know that we do know from Scripture that we will still stand before the Lord more as a steward who gives an account for their service. It might be something like this. It's just simply a question. So here's what I gave you. Here's how I gifted you. Here are the opportunities that I put before you. How did it go? Tell me about that. How did you serve? What were you able to accomplish with what was invested in you? Is there a return on investment? That's what the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, is about. It's a judgment of stewardship. Why? Because we've been gifted and we are expected to serve. And we want to hear him say, don't we? Well done, good and faithful servant. We have a sneaking suspicion that the reasons / excuses that we use today for not serving aren't going to work for us on that day. Well, Lord, I was just so busy. You know how busy I was? Yes. I was talking to somebody the other day and he was telling me how busy he was. I said, that's exactly why we ask you to do this job. Because when you want something done and done right, ask the busy guy. Typically, when you ask somebody that's not busy, you find out the reason they're not busy. But can I just get right up here next to you for a minute? Just you and me can. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for me, for you, for us. And I want to be able to say, Lord, I missed a few intros on a few worship songs. Lord, I preached a few sermons that I thought were going to be home runs and they were pop flies to the infield. About every Sunday in my whole life, I wished I could take about half of what I said back, and I bet you do too. Lord, I didn't always have the best attitude. I didn't always do the best. I didn't always have the right. But Lord, you know my heart, and I hope what you know about me is that my love for you was expressed through service and ministry. And that's when you're going to hear him say, yeah, I'm not worried about the missed intros or the too long sermons or the words you shouldn't have said in the pulpit. I'm not so worried. You know what? I'm just grateful. I want to affirm you, and congratulate you, and bless you. Well done. Good and faithful. Yeah. Servant. We're expected to serve. And finally, we are blessed to serve. I don't want to just put this in the negative context like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get beat or spanked or shamed if I don't. We are blessed to serve. It's a blessing. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58, therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That you didn't get a trophy or a plaque or a certificate of appreciation. They didn't have you stand up on stage and clap for you. And you were wondering, if my service even matter since nobody seems to notice? I have an answer for you. Your service is not in vain. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We are blessed to serve. Blessings for eternity, yes, for what we have done here on earth. And I want to suggest to you that whatever price we pay, whatever sacrifice we make, whatever investment we make will be more than well worth it when we get to heaven. But you don't have to wait till you get to heaven, because there are blessings in the here and now. In fact, I put together a little list of things that I've heard people say time and time again who serve. They say things like this: I have a greater sense of meaning and purpose because I serve. They say this, they say, I feel more connected, like I'm a part of something bigger because I serve. They say, I can see how I'm helping others, and because of that, I know I'm making a difference. My life counts for something bigger than myself. And oftentimes, because of that, they say things like this: I feel better about myself, happier, more fulfilled. I can tell you this, if you want to feel better about yourself, get over yourself and find somebody else to serve. I feel better about myself. I hear that all the time. I hear people say, I'm making friends and building lasting relationships because we are serving together. And that builds a bond. They say, I feel closer to Jesus when I'm serving others. You know why you feel closer to Jesus? Because that's who Jesus is. You're never more like Jesus. And you won't be any closer to Jesus than when you are serving and giving your life away in service to others. And many say this: I'm growing in my faith. And you are, because you are exercising your spiritual gifts, which means you are building spiritual muscle. See, that's the outflow of the inflow of God's grace and mercy. We take what we know and what we understand, and we put it into practice through practical acts of service and ministry, and that's how we grow. That's how we stretch ourselves, and how those muscles, spiritually speaking, repair themselves with greater mass and with an increase of strength, because when you put it into practice, you reinforce it and you grow as a result of it. I'm growing in my faith, many people will say. In fact, I would dare say that it's hard to believe you could actually grow much in your faith if you aren't serving. As I can assure this you of this, that sitting and soaking does not produce disciples. Sitting and soaking produces sour saints. But when you serve, there is a flow that what God is working in you, you work out through practical acts of service and ministry, and that flow creates life-giving energy and produces health and growth. You want to get on a fast track to spiritual growth? I'm telling you right now, serve. Serve, and you will grow. That's just how it works. Serving, not sitting, is how we define success here at Champion Forest. Of course, we talk about sharing the gospel and leading people to Jesus so that they can know Him, worship Him. It's what we were created for, so that we can grow in our relationship to Him and to each other as a part of the body, in faith and in knowledge and in relationship, yes, but finally to go, right? To go in service and ministry. And that always starts at the church. It always starts at the church. Pastor Avery, how many people have we had in our offices who said, I want to serve the Lord, and I think this is what I'm going to do someday? You don't have to come to our offices and say that. We'll tell you now what our next sentence is. Great. So tell me, how are you serving now? Because, you know, in all of these many decades of ministry, I've discovered if you aren't serving now, you won't serve when. It's just the way it works. When, if not now? It starts at the church. Haven't we been in Mark 1 before? Come and follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. So through service, we become the hands and feet of Jesus, doing the work of Jesus. We're not all evangelists. We're not all missionaries. We're not all preachers and teachers. We're not all soloists or performers or leaders or captains. But we each have a part to play. And when we play our part, we are literally fulfilling the mission of Jesus on earth. So it matters now and for all of eternity for those we serve, and ultimately for the one we serve. Hey, let me show you something real quickly as we close this message. Look at these screens. This screen will show you how to connect to service at Champion Forest Baptist Church. Just like you could go on and find and discover your spiritual gift and how it relates to service, then you go to this page at championforest.org/volunteer, and you can scroll through the opportunities to serve either by gift or by area of interest, or whatever criteria. There are a number of criteria: location, age group, it's all there. And as you click through, you can read more about, for example, children's ministry volunteer. You see what those options and opportunities are, then you just click the volunteer button on your phone or your computer this afternoon, and that will take you to a place where you can upload some information about yourself that will allow us then to talk with you this week and next week about service and ministry. But if that scares you and confuses you and you're a little worried about all that, or if we happen to crash the system this afternoon, which would be awesome, just outside this wall to my left, all of our ministry atriums this week are set up with ministry staff and mobilization team to answer questions or talk with you and help you find your place of service and ministry here at Champion Forest. So I'd like to say go home and think about it and pray about it, but I'll save you a step. If you're thinking about praying about whether or not God wants you to serve, let me go ahead and answer that for you. I can't tell you what, where, or how, but if your question is, Lord, should I serve? Or should I just sit and let other people serve me? I believe the Jesus you committed to follow as his disciple has already answered that question. So you're ready to serve?